Today is May 13th, 2009. I'm here in Skopje, Macedonia, with Agim Salami from Analytica. Agim, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for the invitation.
I was wondering, to begin with, could you talk about your present position at Analytica and what you focus on?
Yeah, I'm currently working on Analytica think tank in Skopje. I'm the management coordinator of this think tank, founded in 2005. I'm also the responsible person for the program on public administration reform. And currently I'm working on issues on improving effectiveness of the public administration in Macedonia. I mean the overall image, the overall problems that the public administration system is facing in Macedonia.
Could you talk about some of the issues and challenges that faced the civil service before the reforms were started, before what reforms have happened were actually...
Well, as you know, one of the biggest problems for the civil service reform in Macedonia is the politicization aspect of the civil service, meaning recruiting and promoting candidates or employees on the basis of political determination and thus undermining the principles of merit system, candidates that could effectively fulfill the mission, the tasks and the duties arising from that position.
So what were the, when the process of civil service reform was first started, what were the goals, the priorities that were set there?
The general goal was to set a civil service that would be efficient, small, depoliticized and oriented to fulfilling the needs of the citizens. And by now I can clearly say that any of these goals is achieved yet. We have an overstaffed public civil service, or public sector, let's say, which does not correspond with the criteria of a small system with low public expenditures. We have high rate of politicization that happens with the shift of any government. That's what the practice has shown until now. And we have unsatisfied citizens with the services offered by the civil service.
Now, there was an effort to reform at one point. What was the motivation for that effort? Why was this even started, embarked upon?
The main reason is the aspiration of the Macedonia to integrate in the European Union. And as we know, the European Union looks for standards to be fulfilled by the aspiration members. And one of the benchmarks taking part in the political criteria is obviously the public administration reform, including the civil service reform.
Now, was there an effort to sit down and plan out how the process would proceed in the beginning? Was it centralized? Was it directed?
Yes, sure. There was effort, especially the biggest effort was significant with the public administration reform strategy signed in 1999. It was the crucial document that gave the directions on which the public administration and the civil service could be developed further. Also, the law on civil servants signed in 2000 also moved things forward, like in the legislative framework. It defined the terms like civil servant, civil service, making a distinction between public and civil servant, public administration, civil service. I think these are the basis of the reform that were initiated.
So one thing that often comes up is a question of professionalization and merit in the civil service. Could you describe the procedures and standards that are used in the civil service's recruitment system?
Yes. Since the establishment of the civil servants agency, which was foreseen by the law on civil servants, the civil servants agency is responsible for recruitment, professionalization of civil service, and is obliged to to take over the process of recruitment in an efficient and transparent way.
Mm-hmm.
But its role is not consisting on the parameters it should be. The civil servants agency does not play an active role in recruiting the candidates that fulfill the criteria based on their merits and personal and educational qualifications, but mostly the recruitment is based on a list that is given by the political party in power to the civil servants agency, thus undermining all other candidates that could fulfill the criteria more than the candidates that are delegated by the political party to be employed.
Regardless of who actually is employed, are there, whether or not they're followed, are there standardized requirements, are there job descriptions, are there...
Yes, the law on civil servants clearly defines the criteria a candidate should fulfill in taking a position in the civil service. Thus, the highest position, which is the expert managerial or something like that, asks for candidates which have a significant experience, working experience, and personal educational qualifications, high degrees. Also, the vacancy notices clearly define what candidates should possess for a certain job.
And is there a standardized test that all candidates have to
take? Yes, there is a standardized examination that candidates should undergo, and based on the points taken in the examination, I mean, the examination is a component of the recruitment mm-hmm. process in the civil service.
But as you mentioned, there's an informal process at work, a politicization. Could you talk a little bit about, I'm not sure if you've come across an episode or have an idea of the detail of how that might work, how someone might end up in the civil service without going through this impersonal standardized process?
Yeah, they are such hidden things and not public, and you cannot know how the procedure goes for appointing politicized individuals in the civil service, but it's widely known that that phenomenon exists, because there are many candidates that after the closing of the application and after the candidates have been employed, the other ones that have been, how to say, that have been refused, go to the media and show that they have fulfilled the criteria even more than the ones that are currently employed,
mm-hmm.
but in any way they have been like refused without a clear reason.
And is there any mechanism for appeal of a refusal?
Yes, there is, but having in regard that also the judiciary is politicized, there aren't any cases of such successful cases that some candidates might have won a vacancy
mm-hmm.
through the judiciary.
Now, are there some positions that are legally reserved for political appointees in the civil service?
Yes, especially the highest one that are with nominations: directors, secretary generals, state secretaries. Those are the positions that are being changed with the change of the governments.
But this is just the very top tier of each ministry, for example.
Yes.
Now, do you have a sense of how promotions are worked within the service? Are things like education, work experience, performance evaluations, are those included in that system, promotion?
As far as I know, the law on civil servants does not enable vertical mobility. Mm-hmm. The only vertical promotion, the only promotion is the horizontal one, moving from the same horizontally. But in effect, a candidate can be promoted by taking a higher position in the hierarchy.
And in
and
that,
of course, those principles of merit are in cases like taken in regard.
Okay. So is there a formalized process for this horizontal promotion? Is it before a board? Is it through the civil servants agency, or is it just a superior an arrangement with the superior? The superior decides to promote.
I think that the horizontal promotion is directly executed by the higher position of that institution.
So were one to move to a higher job, which would, I guess, one step up the career ladder, because of this position-based system, it's open competition again?
Yes, it's open competition, offering opportunity to candidates from outside the civil service.
And what's been your experience, or what have you heard about how that system affects the morale or the incentives for civil servants to kind of progress career-wise?
It has a quite negative effect in my view, because when you have internal candidates that are working in that institutions for years and they are quite experienced in doing that, I think that they should have an advantage when applying for the higher position. In this case, when internal candidates and also the ones coming from outside are in the same position and they are competing with same rights, with the same rules, I think that the internal candidates are a bit discriminated, because it is logical that they would perform better the job which they are in the institution they are working for a long time.
Do you have a sense of how common it is for people to work in the civil service and then transition into the private sector?
Many of them do.
And
but there is a problem with this NGO sector. For example, you have people that are actively involved in the NGO sector.
Mm-hmm.
And as time passes, for example, they work for years in the NGO sector. When they get the opportunity, they go to the public sector through political parties or through other mechanisms.
Do you have a sense of the ratio of pay, the salaries between public service and this NGO sector that people are moving back and forth between?
The salaries, as far as I know, the salaries in the public sector are quite lower than the ones from the non-governmental.
But there has been some increase over time.
Sure, and it was foreseen that the salaries will be also increased by 10%. But lately the government published the anti-crisis measures that the government will undertake to neutralize the effects of the crisis, and among the measures was also the delaying the increase of 10% of the salaries for
because of the financial crisis.
And also there was another measure related to new employments in the public administration, which for now will be forbidden or banned.
Now I believe when we were talking earlier, you mentioned that this idea of a position-based system is closely linked to the history of the Ohrid Framework Agreement. Could you expand on that?
Yes. As you know, the Ohrid Framework Agreement, signed in 2001, among other issues, foresaw also the equitable representation, which was a problem until then. It is still a problem, because the equitable representation is not yet on the percentage it should be. Unofficially, the percentage is 10 or 11, and the right percentage should be about 25%. Yeah, the position-based system had a significant role in improving the equitable representation of other ethnic groups in working for employing them in the public administration, because it offered immediate employment of candidates, for example Albanian candidates or Turkish or Serb candidates, in higher positions in the hierarchy of institutions. If it was about career system, then this wouldn't be allowed, because as you know, the career system is a closed system, and when you get employed in the public administration, you start from the lowest position, and advancing yourself in the career as time passes and as you get the needed qualifications and experience in working.
So it would seem that there are some obvious constituencies, some obvious groups of people who would favor a position-based system. It's less clear to me who would favor the career-based system. Where has the support for that idea come from traditionally, or is there any support for this idea, for more
for
of a career-based, more career-based elements?
The career-based system, maybe for the employed people in the public administration, seems a bit abstract, but the experts here always mention that Macedonia should, as soon as possible, introduce the career system in its public administration. This is due to the current situation regarding politicization, mm-hmm. regarding an ability to promote people vertically. And I think that if employees could like distinguish better what's the real difference between position-based and career system, they would really understand the importance of the career system in setting a functional and efficient public administration system or civil service.
Now, is there a civil servants union, civil servants syndicate here in Macedonia, or some form of organization amongst civil servants?
I'm not aware of that, but it's the syndicate of workers or mm-hmm. labor syndicate. That also includes the people employed in the public administration.
Now, do you have a sense of whether performance management schemes are being implemented in the civil service here?
Yeah, performance management is quite low, and its understanding is even more lower. You don't have bodies inside the public administration that are strictly focused on performance management. For example, if I could mention here the human resources departments, which would be responsible for performance management, granting the employees that have achieved or recorded significant positive results, or managing the trainings for the public employees or civil servants. And recently I found out that human resources department are not yet introduced in the proper way they should, and also the ones that are already introduced still do not have the needed experience to handle with the performance management.
So performance management is an issue that is the responsibility of individual HR departments in the ministries. It's not an issue that falls under the civil servants agency's responsibility?
As far as I know, the people responsible for the performance management are the immediate hierarchy of the employee. For example, if someone is working as an administrative managerial civil servant, mm-hmm. responsible would be the expert managerial.
Now, this idea of on promotions, and it seems performance management as well, the superior is responsible for the employee. Is there oversight? Does a civil servants agency, is there a course of appeal there? If someone is passed over, if their performance evaluation is negative, if their promotion is denied, who can they appeal that to? Can they appeal that to anyone?
You mean about candidates that do not work effectively in the
yes.
civil service? As far as I read in the report of the European Commission for 2008, there had been some such cases recorded where some employees or some civil servants have been dismissed from their job because of lack of interest and capacity to fulfill their responsibilities and duties mm-hmm. in an effective way.
Now, on this point of dismissal, is that a standardized process? Is there certain steps that have to be gone through in order to dismiss
it? Sure, it is. There is a clear procedure set on that. Maybe in the law on civil servants, mm-hmm. you can find it.
And is it your sense that procedure is actually followed in practice?
Not at all.
Okay.
Maybe in some cases, as I told you previously, yeah, from the European Commission report, which mentions such cases, but they are not that much public.
Now, has anything, when you think about this idea of promotion and performance management, it sounds like there hasn't really been any progress on that front at all. I mean, is there a good side to this story that you can think of?
No, except the late introduction of the human resources departments, which I cannot count it as an achievement. It's a process that is being developed very slowly. Then also there is a significant achievement or development in the field of offering trainings for the civil servants agency, which is a obligatory thing for the civil servants agency to offer the civil servants different trainings. And also recently it has been told very much about the regional RESPA, the Regional School of Public Administration. I think that we should wait a little bit and see what the results will be from this school.
Mm-hmm. So one institution that comes up a lot is the Civil Servants Agency. Could you talk a little bit about the structure of that agency, and how it was established, why it was established?
I can tell the reasons why was it established. It emanated from the Law on Civil Servants, which had foreseen that the Civil Servants Agency would be the protector of the Law on Civil Servants. I mean, on the legislation of civil servants. But I haven't studied the structure yet of the Civil Servants Agency.
Do you have a sense of how independent it is as an agency?
I don't think that I can classify it as an independent institution, disregarding to the politicization, mm-hmm, recruitment of individuals. This is the only significant fact that derives other things related to its independence.
Sometimes you'll get agencies like this or public service commissions. They attempt to explain their role to the public. They attempt to raise their profile amongst the public, raise the issue of civil service reform. What's your sense of civil service reform's importance amongst the Macedonian public, the public image of this effort?
Well, people generally agree with the estimations and assessment of the European Commission regarding, mm-hmm, civil service reforms. They agree that the civil service is not serving them in an appropriate way, that they have to lose too much time waiting for a single document to be issued by them, for them. And I think that citizens are desperately waiting for improvements to be recorded in the civil service.
So the agency was established, I believe, in 2000. What has it succeeded at? Where have there been improvements in some of its responsibilities?
Main responsibilities, as I told you, in developing a database, a registry of civil servants. And then offering a special treatment to the civil servants as a term, being obliged to offer significant career development to the civil servants, also offering trainings to the civil servants. As I told you, there have been many trainings afforded and organized for the civil servants, but that was not included in a concrete strategy and was done mainly ad hoc way, in an ad hoc way.
So as funding or opportunities became available, the trainings were extended. So this idea of the registry of civil servants, do you have a sense of what information was collected in that? What they have?
You have the overall number of the employees in the civil service, which is about 11,000 or 12,000. They are classified then regarding to their age, regarding to their ethnical structure, regarding to their qualifications, regarding to their experience in the civil service, various types of classifications of civil servants.
Does it keep
many percentages have been derived from those classifications.
Mm-hmm. And does it? Do they also keep track of who is taking training classes and or?
I think it was mentioned as a problem because there were cases when civil servants have undergone two or three times the same training,
okay,
which correspondingly says that there isn't such a registering on what a civil servant's, on what training has a civil servant attended, and thus the inability to clearly define the needs assessment of the civil servants.
How would you describe the transparency of all of this, of the civil service agency?
It should be really further developed because we have the law on public information, but the law is not serving on the way it should serve the citizens. For example, you have to go to a ministry or to another institutions and you want to receive, to pursue a document which is open for the public, and even in such cases you face with difficulties until you get that document, or you might never get it because of the nature of people working there that are mostly directed not to be transparent and open to the citizens, but closing the circle.
Can you think of a particular experience that you've had when you've been trying to get a certain piece of information and it's just...
I've had recently my experience in arranging interviews with representatives of the human resources departments. I've contacted them with a memorandum legally, have called on the phone, but I couldn't even succeed to find a proper person to be interviewed for my research.
Now, in terms of staff size of the civil service, when reform was first envisioned, was there an idea of what the service should look like in terms of sizing, numbers, percentages, wage bills, payroll?
We have a recommendation regarding that. The international and domestic experts always say that the number of the overall employees in the public administration, including the civil service, should be half of the current number. The current number is about 120,000 employed people in the public administration, which is a critical number, which requires a great deal of public expenditures, and which is really riskful in the perspective of fiscal politics. But until now, there have only been a declarative approach to the right sizing of the civil service of public administration. I mean, any political party, any government hasn't until now reached to find a proper strategy how to proceed with this problematics.
Have there been any... Despite the fact that right sizing seems not to have happened, have there been any assessments done to identify where cuts could be made or should be made? Are there any parts of the service that you're aware of that are particularly bloated in terms of payroll?
That's what I've studied in my last report on right-sizing the public administration. I've succeeded to find some institutions that face with staff deficiency and some others that face with enormous sufficiency of employees. For example, in my report I've mentioned that the veterinary department under the Ministry of forestry, waters, and spatial planning, is facing with enormous difficulties in covering the full territory of Macedonia with veterinary inspections, mm-hmm. due to low number of inspectors. Also, the state labor inspectorate is facing with deficiency in regard to employees. Namely, they also in some regions face with the problem of covering the whole territory with labor inspections. But on the other side, there are the health and education sector are really bloated with employees. About 30,000 employees work only in the health sector, which is quite big.
Do all ministries actually have human resources departments?
They should have.
They should have.
They should have.
Okay.
In some of them, they are just fresh introduced, mm-hmm. if I could say that.
Yeah.
But in other institutions, they are in the process of introduction.
And again, this the idea of in-service training, is that that's ad hoc, as you were saying?
Yes.
Now, in the process of raising salaries and wages, do you have a sense of how that was worked out? What was deemed appropriate? Was it pegged to the private sector? Or there's this idea of a 10% raise annually? What kind of debate was there over pay? Or was it simply identified as something that needed to be addressed as a priority?
Yes, because the low level of salaries in the public administration and in the civil service was always considered a problem in motivating the employees, in the civil servants, in working and performing effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And that was determined also by all involved parties, that the salaries should be approximated to the best model countries in the region, for example, Croatia or Slovenia. But until now, there has been a slow progress in approximating the salary level with the model countries from the region. However, the last measure for not proceeding with the 10% rising the salaries of the employees should be perceived as a factor that stand on the way of rising the mm-hmm. salaries of the civil servant, although it has its rationale. The economic crisis is the only reason why it has been decided so.
Now, what role have outside donors play in civil service reform?
I have an experience where an outside donor was offering training to the strengthening the capacity of civil servants agency.
Mm-hmm.
Human and infrastructure, offering trainings to the employed people in the civil servants agency, and thus completely reforming or restructuring the civil servants agency, giving them new skills and new ways how to deal with the problems that arise in the functioning of the civil servants agency.
So that was something that did happen.
I don't know what happened, but I know that they were asking for our expertise on how that could be achieved, on needs assessment of the civil servants agency. That's what was given to them by us, but I'm not informed on if that
is followed up
or completely.
Do you recall which organization this was?
I don't know the name, but it was from Germany.
Germany. Okay. Now, it seems a recurring issue that you come up with in civil service reform is this idea of politicization. Have any ideas or strategies been aired to to address politicization as a way of insulating the service from what seems to be a pretty regular politicized rotation. With the changing of each government, you lose an immense amount of staff. Has there been any debate or any ideas that you're aware of that could, apart from establishing a career-based system, that could somehow improve this, could lessen that effect?
Well, I would answer only by mentioning the career system, but another fact or instrument that is being mentioned by experts is the loyalty of political parties and their morale in not to interfere in the structure, organizative structure of the public administration system. They say that the political parties should immediately stop considering the public administration or the civil service their own property. They should not interfere in recruitment of the candidates in the public or civil service.
Now, a lot of these reform initiatives take a comparative approach, where countries will look to other countries' experiences to see what has worked or what hasn't. Speaking broadly, are there things about civil service reform or public administration, more broadly, in other countries that were never really applicable to the Macedonian context? Or are there aspects of the Macedonian context that could never be transferred abroad? Is there something very particular about the situation here?
Well, regarding country specifics, Macedonia is quite similar with Slovenia. Mm-hmm. With Slovenia. And having in regard that Slovenia has already fulfilled the criteria for having an efficient public administration, I think that Macedonia has a model country that should follow and implement the practices that Slovenia has implemented in its public administration.
Now, is that something that a conclusion that you've come to, or have you also heard Slovenia widely discussed as a example for Macedonia?
I recalled the case of Slovenia while writing the report on right-sizing the public administration. I was looking for models from other countries how they have dealt with this issue, and all I could find was only the measure Slovenia has applied in right-sizing its administration.
And what about the Slovenian experience struck you as being applicable here in Macedonia? What were some of the initiatives that they had taken that you think would play well here in Macedonia?
Regarding right-sizing or in general?
Both.
Regarding right-sizing, what impressed me was the annual reduction of employees, of the number of employees by 1% each year, and this won't cause hirings. This won't cause firing of employees, but the number will be decreased by normal outflow, mm-hmm. meaning candidates that are on retirement or close near retirement would be given incentives for early retirement, and thus mm-hmm. removing or reducing the number of people working in the civil service. This wouldn't give the immediate results, but in a long-term period is a good way and instrument to achieve the goal of right-sizing.
Mm-hmm. And are there things more generally about Slovenia's experience that struck you as applicable here in Macedonia?
Also, the rate of politicization is really low in Slovenia. Mm-hmm. I think that Macedonia should also follow what has been done there regarding depolitization of the civil service. And I'm sure that there can be some lessons to be learned by Macedonia in this aspect.
Is there a strategic view going forward? Because it sounds like there was this moment of reform around 2000 with the new law, civil servants agency. And it did make some progress, but it seems as though things have plateaued off. how do you see the medium term, the future for civil service reform here in Macedonia?
Well, the reform should mainly consist on introducing the career system to be fully applicable in the civil service. Then on the further to develop the local decentralization process, which is an issue to be widely discussed among experts, how should it be proceeded with. Also, right-sizing should take place in the reform process, because we have that contradictory phenomenon where you declaratively say that the number should be decreased, but on the other hand, there are new candidates being hired, in massive number of people are being hired in the public administration, which really
So is there this recurring idea that statements are made, strategies are written, and, you know, as you're saying, these declarative statements are made, and just the reality doesn't really change much at all. What kind of groups, or is there anyone, any watchdog agency, is there anyone out there for whom civil service reform is actually a priority? Is where's the constituency? If someone were looking to really focus on civil service reform, where would that potential allies for that be?
That's the main competence of the civil servants agency. It should be like a protector and a watchdog institution of the reforms on the civil service.
But it is itself politicized,
yes,
as you say.
It is, in fact.
Bleak picture. Well, thanks very much for taking
the
time.
Thank you very much also.